So once again, thank you to the Counseling Center, Dr. Muscat, and UTS for allowing me to speak in front of you guys. Again, our mission is to take Torah, take psychology, take the Chodesh HaShanah, take the different months of the year, and see how we could blend the two together in a nice way. So the month of Kislev contains in it the Yom Tov of Chanukah, and in it we celebrate, we commemorate, we relive the main miracles that took place. So first of all, we know the miracle that the oil was supposed to last only one day, ended up lasting 8 days. We celebrate that. Amazing. Second miracle is the miracle of how the Jews were victorious in battle against the mighty Greeks, despite the fact that they were outnumbered and they were heavy underdogs. So first of all, a few questions. What exactly is the connection between these two miracles? Is there a connection? And if so, what is it? And second of all, what exactly does it mean to be an underdog? What does it mean to be the person who is not as fortunate, person who is not expected to be victorious? Try to understand that a little more. So throughout history, there have always been different wars, competitions, battles, sporting events. In almost every one, there contains the side that is viewed as the favorite, that is viewed as the one that's expected to be victorious, whether that means the side that's stronger, bigger, stronger, faster, more talented, the one that's expected to come out on top. On the other hand, there is the underdog. The side that's weaker, less capable, less advanced, not as smart, not as fast, not as strong, less likely to be victorious. Right, there's that notion out there that underdogs are underdogs for a reason. They're not expected to win. They really don't stand a chance. They're not as good. The interesting thing is that what? If you look at history, if you're a sports fan, then you see very, very well that underdogs are victorious much more often than you think they are. The question is why? The question is how? How does that happen? Logically, rationally, doesn't make any sense. If one team, one side, one army is bigger, better, stronger, smarter, then how is it even possible for them not to come out on top? So let's try to examine a few historical events. For anyone who's into history, specifically Jewish history, you're going to like this. If you're a big sports fan, then you'll like some other examples that we're going to bring. So, first of all, the Six-Day War. Six-Day War, 1967. Eretz Yisrael was surrounded by Arab countries who wanted them dead, wanted them decimated, wanted them off the map. They vowed to destroy the Israelis. They were outnumbered, multiple armies, multiple soldiers. They decided they had no choice but to surprise the Egyptians in the south and then the Syrians in the north. And as General Moshe Dayan put it, legendary general, you know, is the one with the eye patch if you can't put a name on the face. And he said, to quote, if we wait for 7 to 9 days, there will be thousands dead. Bechasdei Hashem, they surprised the enemies, and they came out victorious, finished off the Egyptian air force in a matter of minutes. Mamash. Tremendous miracle. They were forced to be creative and proactive because they were cornered. They had no choice. Perhaps the turning point of this illustration was that Israel was cornered and displayed this fight or flight mentality, reaction, which means that they felt as if they were left with no choice. They had to act in this way because if they did not, they would not survive. And therefore, the circumstances forced them to think critically and to find ways to get better and to outsmart their enemies. Let's go to the next event. So we all know, Miracle on Ice. It was the Olympics. It was 1980. It was New York. Semifinal game of ice hockey. The U.S. team, filled with young college-aged, up-and-coming players, who've had almost no experience playing with each other on the ice, went up against the Soviets, the bigger, the stronger, the more experienced, the heavy favorite. In an intense back and forth matchup, U.S. pulls ahead, wins the game in front of thousands of American fans chanting USA. Perhaps the turning point of this victory was that as the game was played in New York, in America, on home turf or home ice, they felt the strong support of their fans loud and clear. Next, it's the Super Bowl. It's 2008. New England Patriots. I'm sorry if there are any Boston guys here. Apologize for rubbing it in. I'm a New Yorker and I'll gladly do it. Arguably the best American football team to ever play. First team to ever go 16-0, go into the playoffs, have a near-perfect postseason as well, led by the legendary quarterback Tom Brady, wanted to be the first team ever to have a perfect season and postseason, again with the 16-game schedule. Who is their opponent? No? Thank you. New York Giants snuck their way into the postseason, made it a big game. New England, heavy favorites to win the game. The result, New York Giants upset, 17-14. Beautiful. But the piece of the puzzle that goes very much unnoticed is that these two teams played when? The last game of the regular season. The last game of the regular season. And this perfect season was on the line for the Patriots. Giants didn't really have much to play for. They're already in the playoffs. They decided to go all out. And they ended up putting up a very, very strong fight and nearly won the game. Put up a stronger fight than any team put up the entire regular season. Perhaps the turning point of their victory in the Super Bowl was that they were the first team the entire season that actually instilled a fear inside of the Patriots. Furthermore, they may have used that game and studied it backwards and forwards, studied the tendencies, the motions of the Patriots, of their opponent, and used that to win the game in the Super Bowl. As Malcolm Gladwell, a book writer, writes in his book called David and Goliath, it's a book about underdogs, he writes as follows, it says, underdogs win not because they're smarter than their enemy, but because they understand their enemies better than their enemies understand them. Perhaps the Giants did a little more research on the Patriots than the Patriots did on the Giants. So, we have a few pshatim, a few understandings, a few explanations as to why and how opponents who are less fortunate tend to come out on top. So, just to do chazara, lo chazara, we have the first one, Six-Day War, that fight or flight mentality. When you're put up against a very difficult challenge, the adrenaline created from this healthy anxiety motivates you and forces you to find ways to be victorious. Then we had the miracle on ice, maybe the support system. Even if you're weaker than your opponent, knowing that you have a strong support system, knowing that you have people who are cheering for you, will give you that motivation to come out on top. Then we have the Super Bowl example, intimidation. The Giants intimidated them maybe a little bit, scared them a little bit. Game planning, they were much more prepared. They studied their opponents much more. So, you're going to ask me, what in the world does this have to do with Chodesh Kislev, with Chanukah? What exactly is going on over here, Rabbi? Why are you giving me a history lesson? Why are you showing off your sports knowledge? What's going on over here? Well, Chanukah was arguably one of the greatest upset and underdog stories of all time that preceded all the above stories. And the story of the Hashmonaim went out to fight against the mighty Greek army. Rabim biyad me'atim, few, the many in the hands of the few. So here's where we transition from psychology, from philosophy, whatever you want to call it, to Torah. So let's go back to the beginning of time when God created the world. Hashem created the world, and first He created Choshech. Choshech is darkness that does not allow a person to see. And then after He created Choshech, He created what's called Or. Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. Created Or. What's this Or? As the Sfarim say, it's what's called the Or Ganuz, the hidden light. The light that existed for exactly 36 hours in times of creation, then was hidden within the creation and hidden behind nature, behind what's called Choshech. Hashem created the world using the name Elohim, as it says, Bereshit Bara, Elohim. using the name Elohim. Elohim represents Hashem's rulership of the world in a hidden way, where He hides Himself behind nature. When it rains outside, you don't really see Hashem planting the trees and the flowers and everything else and the grass. What you see is that the cloud's getting a little dark, and precipitation and evaporation and whatever terms you want to use, that's what you see. You see nature. You don't see Hashem. That's Hashem running the world using the name Elohim. And then you have the name Yudke Vavke, Havaya. And Yudke Vavke represents Hashem running the world in an open and revealed way, in a way that you can't deny. So why both? Because Hashem needs to give space, needs to give room for the deniers to deny. Can't make it obvious. So therefore, Hashem runs the world in both ways. As the Midrash says, that really deep down, nothing happens without Hashem's approval. The Midrash says, "En adam nokef etzba'ol milamata, ela imken machrizin alav milamala." A person cannot and will not lift his finger here down below in Olam Hazeh, unless in Shemayim they give their approval. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Okay, you could lift your finger." That's when you could lift your finger. Shem is everywhere and controls everything. So, Chanukah, we know, is what's brought down, was a holiday that was lehodot ulehalel. It was a holiday that was meant to give thanks. It's our Thanksgiving. Hoda'ah. What's hoda'ah? Hoda'ah means to say thank you. We say it multiple times a day. Modim, nodelecha, and Birkat Hamazon. Thank you multiple times a day in the lashon of hoda'ah, of modim. But it doesn't only mean thank you. It also means to admit or to acknowledge. Ani modelecha. I admit to you, I agree with you, I acknowledge. What's the connection? Connection is because only once a person can acknowledge the good that someone else does for him, can he actually say thank you to the other person. It's a prerequisite. One leads to the other. To be modeh leads to hoda'ah, to say thank you. We say every morning, Baruch Atah Hashem in Brachot, Pokeach Ivrim, you open up our eyes. What does that mean to open up our eyes? That we're not blind, chas v'shalom, that we're able to see? Yes, it means that. But it also means is what? Is that Hashem, thank you for giving me the understanding to see and to understand how you run the world and to acknowledge your the beautiful work of your creation. The Pasuk says, Se'u marom enechem ur'u mibara ele. Lift your eyes up to the sky and understand and acknowledge who created this. Eyes mean understanding. Seeing means understanding. There's a famous segula brought down in the name of Rav Chaim from Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin, the author of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, top student of the Gaon Mivilna, the Vilna Gaon. He says as follows, I want to read to you such a powerful quote. He says, "Ve'emet hu inyan gadol segula nifla'a." It's a big segula. "Le'aser ulvatel me'alav kol dinin urtzonot acharim." To remove from yourself any harsh judgments, any punishments that are bound to come to you. Shelo yichlu lishlot bo, lo asu shom roshem klal, that it should not affect you. Kshadam kovea bilibo, when a person instills in his heart, lemor, to say, Halo Hashem hu ha'elokim, Hashem is the God. Ha'amiti. Ve'en od levado itbarach, shum koach ba'olam. And there is no other ability in the world other than Hashem's ability. Ve'chol alamot klal, ve'akol, Male rak achduto apashut ibirach shemo, and the entire world is filled. The entire world is filled with Hashem's unity. That's it. There is nothing else and nobody else that has any control. It's only Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, "Ken yaspiku itbarach." When a person thinks like this, then Hashem will grant you biado shemimelo itvatlu me'alav kol hakochot ratzonot shebaolam shlo yichlu lifol bo shum davar klal. So segula, the Nefesh HaChaim says, when a person thinks this and ponders this, no bad will fall on him. We know that one of the miracles on Chanukah that we commemorate is the war, is the milchama, is that we were outnumbered by the Greek forces. Am Yisrael as a whole, and specifically the Jewish fighters named the Chashmonaim, were heavy underdogs. Through Hashem's kindness, we came out on top, Baruch Hashem, and we lived. We were able to enjoy and partake in the Beit HaMikdash for many, many years afterwards. How did they pull it off? Such a big upset. Chashmonaim. Perhaps we can say a pshat similar to what we said before. Maybe. Maybe we could say that. We could say, you know, the adrenaline, and maybe we could say, you know, they studied their enemies more than the enemies studied them. Maybe we could give those pshatim. Could be. However, those are very Elokim, the name Elokim type explanations. Elokim in Gematria is Hateva, nature. Those all are natural and rational explanations. Understandings that may have within them Choshech, darkness of Olam Hazeh, which every occurrence that happens in this world is logical and rational and could be explained Chas v'Shalom without involving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without involving God. Chazal say that Choshech is represented to by Yavan, by the Greeks. Why? Because their whole mentality was the body, was nature, denying of God. So let's try to stay away from that for now. The Poskim bring down in the name of the Ramban. This is not a very recent, you know, idea, concept. It's brought down in the names of the Rishonim, and perhaps even before that, that there's a minhag brought down to, that while you recite, after you light the Hanukkah candles, to recite a Perek of Tehillim, Perek Tzadi Aleph 91. It's known as Perek Yoshev Seter Elyon, that we say every Motzei Shabbat. And minhag to say it after lighting the candles. The reason brought down is because the Midrash says that the Chashmonaim recited this Perek of Tehillim as they set out to war against their enemies, against the Greeks. So, what's found in this Perek? Let's look inside. I'm going to quote you a few psukim. Ki hu yatzilcha mipach hakush midevar avot. Hashem will save you from any traps. Lo tira mipachad laila mechetzi alf yomam. You should not fear the terror of night. Night is choshech, darkness, lack of fear, lack of understanding. Yipol mitzidcha elef uravam minecha elecha lo igash. 1,000 may fall on your left, 10,000 on your right, but none of them will reach you. Rak be'enecha tabit is the punchline. Rak be'enecha tabit, only with your eyes shall you look. Vishulumat urshayim tir'eh. You will see with your eyes the punishment of the wicked. Eyes. Ki ata Hashem machsi elyon samta me'onecha. You, Hashem, are my Savior, and I placed all my trust in you. He will command that his angels will be there to protect you, to watch you wherever you go. The miracle of the war happened because they were able to see Hashem clearly. Rak be'enecha tabit. They were able to see and understand that Hashem hu Elokim, ein od milvado. There is nothing else other than Hashem. Hashem is clearly involved in their lives and understands that Hashem is their support and their protection. Odds, favorites, underdogs, upsets are not a thing when it comes to Hashem. Hashem is capable of anything, mamash. Hashem is above odds, above nature, above underdogs, above favorites. The same koach that Hashem has to cause a favorite to be victorious, Hashem has to cause an underdog to be victorious. There are no odds, there are no percentages. If Hashem decides this team is going to win, this army is going to win, this army is going to be victorious, then they're going to be victorious. So let's jump back to our original questions of what exactly is the connection between these two miracles. The miracle of the oil and the miracle of the war. So the connection is that it's all about your eyes. It's all about what you see and what you understand. The miracle of the oil, as we know, what's the mitzvah? Ela lirotam bilvad, to see it, to understand it. The miracle of the war, once again, to see, to understand. Shem is the boss. And the Chashmonaim understood that. The truth is that Am Yisrael, you know, we're underdogs as well on a national level, on an individual level. Nationally, I don't need to give you a history lesson. Throughout our history, you know, we've been tortured, terrorized, time and time and time again. But still, we're here. Individually, we all have a neshama. That neshama, / the Yetzer HaTov, is completely surrounded by desires, by temptations. Yetzer Hara is so much stronger. Very often find ourselves in battles that we feel are not winnable. The temptation is just simply too strong for us. Must not be afraid, chas v'shalom, to understand, to be inspired, to remember the holy words of the Nefesh HaChaim. Halo Hashem hu Elokim ha'amiti. Hashem is the true God. Ve'en od milvado yitbarach shum koach ba'olam. Ve'chol ha'alamot klal. There is no other koach in the world. Ve'akol male rak achduto ha'pashut yitbarach shemo. The entire world is filled with that. That's why it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashlech al Hashem yehavcha ve'hu yichalkeleka. Send everything, all your burdens onto Hashem. Send them onto Hashem and He'll take care of you. There's nothing that's too large, too big, too complicated, too difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the story of the underdog, Am Yisrael, to understand that underdogs don't exist. Favorites don't exist. HaKol Bidei Shamayim, En Od Milvado. Give us all bracha, Bezat Hashem. That the more that we'll be able to see that Hashem is involved in our daily life, the more successful we'll be, the more protected we'll be, Bezat Hashem, Bezocheh, to live these miracles of Chanukah, to relive them, to relive Hashem's protection over us, and to understand them, and Bezocheh, to experience this Or HaGanuz, this godly and heavenly light, and have access to it and use it to understand life, to understand Hashem's rulership of the world and in our lives. Thank you very, very much.